All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Rants into the Heavens. I'm playing this live. I don't know how many times I'm going to die, so we'll see. But this is The Last Faith, which is a mix of Castlevania and Blasphemous. It definitely looks a lot like Blasphemous. Now, I've picked the Marksman class, which should allow me to fucking shoot things, which I like to do. I know how to jump. Alright, so anyway, today's video is about how I discovered heavy metal. And it's a long video, but I'll go through it as far as my knowledge is concerned. Now, I am drinking, so we'll see how far I get with this, but at any rate, I hope it'll be good. Damn. Okay. So, my journey through metal is pretty interesting. I mean, it's kind of basic, but it got interesting as I went on. It starts out basic, though. So when I first got into rock, it was because I was staying over at a friend of my mother's house that was really into John Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi was really, really popular around that time. You know, Living on the Edge, Cowboy, you know, Slippery When Wet was just a terrific album, and it still holds up. I've listened to the whole thing. Janie's Got a Gun, all that. But I think that was Aerosmith, which is also a big one. Janie's Got a Gun and Love in an Elevator, Aerosmith, you know, all that kind of stuff. Was really, always have really liked Aerosmith and ZZ Top and just all those kind of guys. I remember when a lot of the videos first premiered on MTV. So you would see the very first video of Legs, A Sharp Dressed Man, you know, stuff like that. You were exposed to a lot of music on MTV. And I really liked rock. Rock was my thing. And I really liked Michael Jackson's Beat It. I always really liked that one. Because Michael Jackson is the fucking king of pop. And let's just be honest. He was good. Prince can play the hell out of a guitar. He absolutely can. And just a lot of those guys really inspired my interest in rock music to begin with. When I was young, my favorite song, this is when I was just a little boy, was Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love. You might as well face it, you're addicted to love. Might as well face it, you're... I actually got the album, the vinyl record, now we can call them vinyls, but I got the vinyl record for Christmas. Because I had like a kiddie record player, you know, I had some Disney records that I would play, and there was this other song that I really liked from a record I got at a thrift store. It was a record called No More Boredom, and there was a song called Curiosity, right? It was supposed to like teach kids learning and stuff like that, but I mean, the song was about curiosity being all right, which is great. And I do think curiosity is all right. I definitely think it is. I think people should be very curious about what's going on and in the world and in the government and stuff like that. Maybe that made me the man I am today. But at any rate, I did like Curiosity. And it was a metal song. It was a kind of a hard rock metal song. And it had a guitar solo and all that. And I mean, you know, things just started to lead into that. You know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme, you know, that was a big thing. I would sing with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme, and there's a lot of rock going on in those days. You guys gotta understand. Let's see. Also, in the Nintendo games, there was a lot of 8-bit... rocker metal kind of like with the boss battles. I mean, you can even see it in the arcade games where Konami was using rock and stuff like that, and I mean, it just kind of one thing led to another. Those big boss battles would always have this really high energy music, you know? And I love that kind of music. I was like, oh yeah, that's fast and hardcore, right? And then, of course, there was the eventual Mighty Morphin Power Rangers coming out. And Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was brand new when I was a boy to experience it. I wasn't a child. I wasn't like a teen, because, you know, it was really popular with even little kids. I mean, like little kids. They were talking about that little kids were fighting and all that kind of stuff when it, you know, and it was a bad thing because it was teaching kids violence. But it had a badass song. Like, it had a really badass song. Ron Wasserman wrote that song. Of course, Shuki Levy and him fought for years about it, to the point where he started putting lyrics against Shuki Levy in his fucking songs that he wrote for Power Rangers. And he would make them hidden so that he didn't know, or Shuki Levy didn't know that what he was singing about was Shuki Levy. He was like, yeah, you've done this to me, but I'm not going to come right out and say it. I'm just going to let you know that, you know, read between the lines. This song is about you, you asshole. Oh, yeah. Shuki Levy claims to have written so many fucking songs. Of course, you know, there was the X-Men. You know, that one? Yep, that was a good one, too. And they even made a more metal version in the later seasons of the show, even though it wasn't as good as the original. Like, I actually watched the entire complete classic X-Men. I don't regret it. But I do regret those last couple episodes, because they were just absolute garbage. So, also, you know, you had all these cartoon things that inspired me, video games that inspired me. Same things that inspired Herman Lee from Dragon Force. Herman Lee was really big into Turbo. He had a TurboGrafx-16. And he really liked the music from the games. So, you know, when I interviewed him, he told me that he would take a tape recorder, and he would basically put the tape recorder up to the game, and he would record the soundtrack from the game. He just put the game on pause or let the title screen sit on there, and he would record that, and he would have that as a just as something he would listen to on tape, which is something we used to do a lot back then. There was a lot of themes and stuff that I would actually tape myself from Mega Man X games and stuff like that, that I wanted to go back and listen to because I enjoyed them, you know. But yeah, I mean, I was into a lot of that kind of stuff. And of course, one of the most interesting things about Power Rangers, getting back to that, is the inspiration for Power Rangers, the theme, was Judas Priest's Electric Eye. And when you listen to Electric Eye, and you listen to the theme, aptly named Go Go Power Rangers, you're going to see that they are legitimately the same fucking song in a way. I mean, I love both songs. They're both great songs. And remember, Go Go Power Rangers is a full song. It's not just that part you heard. If you hear it on Ron Wasserman's Go Go Power Rangers record, which he re-recorded all the classic songs, you can actually listen to the full thing. I mean, it has everything. It has the verse, chorus, the solo. Yes, there's a solo in that. It's pretty good. It's surprisingly good. And there's actually other guitarists that have gone up to Ron Wasserman and have said, how did you play that? Like, they were trying to figure out how to do that themselves. Ooh, okay. I think I could beat this guy. I think I can beat ya. Hold on. Gotta try to whoop his ass. Come on now. Yeah, I can. Yeah, I think that's how I can do that. But I'll go over here. Oh, come on. Can he really be that easy? He's a little heavy on the life bar. I'll say that. I'll beat him again. That's okay. The Nightcrux has consumed you. That's alright, I'm gonna go whoop his ass. He's really not that hard. All you have to do is just roll under him. But yeah, let me get back to where I was, because I'm going to go whoop his ass. I don't even care if he's not supposed to be a boss I'm fighting. I think I can whoop his ass, so why not? Yeah, I think I can whoop his ass. Just fuck, damn it. I'm just gonna end up pissing him off. I'm gonna roll over here. And then when he turns around, I'm just gonna piss him off. He's just gonna get to the point where I might be able to beat him without even getting a hit on him if I do this right. Ooh! Nope. See, it's that one fucking move he does. Hold on. Alright, roll under him. Roll under him again. Nope. Oh, see, did it again. That's the only thing that he can fuck me with, is that one move. Hold on. Gonna cut this short because I want to go whoop this dude's ass real quick. I mean, it would be crazy if I could continue talking. But, I mean, I guess I could. I can kind of focus on that. He's not... It's really not that hard of a fucking pattern. I'm gonna go kill this guy, though. I don't know if I'm leveling shit up or what. I know I can't get up there yet. I need some kind of rope. Alright. Lost Nycrux. Isn't it just a soul? Y'all, damn it. Come here, fucker. Damn it. See, that's what I do wrong. Damn, is that like a missile or something that comes out of this guy? Yup! Almost did it again. Whoa! Wow! 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 Holy shit! And I beat some of the bosses in Ninja Gaiden. Come on now! Give me a fucking break! Healing injection. Can I use the fucking shit? Do I have a healing? Like, how do I do that? I guess I have to hit a button. Maybe I can beat him if I heal. I just have to get around the bullshit part he does. Demi-oxide bullets. Can I use them? Nope. Hold on, fucker. Do I have to... Inventory. For use in firearms. Okay, do I have a fucking bullet? Restore some focus. Oh, did that mother... Really? I didn't know they could attack you while you're... Whatever. Nope. I'm not seeing nothing. I mean, it says I have some shit to heal, but I can't heal. Well, I can't heal. Fuck it. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Alright, so... We talked about the beginnings and all that. So, anyway... The 90s were starting to wane. And of course, as the 90s started to wane, you had more extreme shit coming into the horizon. Obviously, death metal and black metal were still in their very early stages at this point, or their mid, I guess they're, yeah, I mean, because you had, like, Scream Bloody Gore in the 90s. So, yeah, maybe it's... But anyway, it wasn't really popular. A lot of that music wasn't really popular. Of course, you had thrash, you had Metallica, I was aware of, Enter Sandman, you know, music like that. But what really got me was actually the stuff that was getting popular. Namely, Limp Bizkit, Korn, And of course, there was Seven Dust, there was Disturbed. You know, a lot of these bands, all of them still going today. Slipknot was a thing, but Slipknot was still niche at this time. Believe it or not, Slipknot wasn't that well known. They weren't playing the videos on MTV yet. Remember, Slipknot had a video for Wait and Bleed, but it hadn't really gotten airplay on mainstream stations. The music was still considered a little bit too heavy for a lot of the mainstream rock shows. So it hadn't really caught on. It wasn't until much later before you would see Slipknot played every which way. Especially on the radio. I remember when they made their radio break, but we'll talk about that later. So anyway, I was getting into a lot of this kind of music. You know, of course, I really liked Limp Bizkit. I was also getting into Insane Clown Posse around that time, too, because ICP had come out with Riddle Box, and they'd come out with the Great Malenko, which they'd be known for. So there was a lot of stuff like that coming out. You had... Let's see. Also, Kid Rock. Kid Rock was very, very popular when he first started out. He may not be so popular now, but when Kid Rock first started with Ball with the Ball, Ball with the Ball was a fucking amazing song when it first came out. Like, we loved it when we were kids. It was a great song. It was heavy. Like, we loved how heavy it was, and it was the first time we'd ever heard rap like that, right? It was like, oh, this guy can rap and it's pretty heavy, right? So we thought it was a really fun song. And of course, you know, there was Cowboy, which was a rap kind of song too, a country rap song, which we really liked. And, you know, Kid Rock was really popular. So, you know, I wanted his record. I think I had an edited Devil Without a Cause. And then I had, let's see what else I had. I had MTV's Return of the Rock Volume 2. I never did get the first volume. But basically, this was an edited rock and metal record. And yeah, there was a mixture of bands on there. They had Slipknot, they had Soulfly, they had Spine Shank, and a lot of other bands. Machine Head was on there. Just a lot of stuff that was they were trying to really get out at the time. A lot of Roadrunner stuff. Slipknot, the first song I ever heard from Slipknot was actually not Wait and Bleed. It was Spit It Out. And I heard an edited version of Spit It Out, which I know the whole goddamn song by heart, but when I was young, you know, that's the first time I'd ever heard it. And I thought Slipknot was just fucking, I mean, what'd you say, the bee's knees. I thought that was just the best shit I had heard. And, you know, for a while, right? And we had this thing on my satellite. Because, you know, satellite was the big thing. We were moving from cable to satellite. And satellite would have metal channels. So they would have one channel that was more like hard rock kind of stuff. And you'd find a lot of new metal and popular stuff on there, right? And then, of course, you'd have a channel that was more heavy, like real hard death metal and stuff. And I was like really religious at the time, so I would make fun of the songs and stuff. Oh, it's blasphemy against God and all that. But as I got older, like, I started to really be like, okay, like, I understand this song as, like, this is pretty badass. Like, I understood the death metal. I understood the black metal a little more. And they played, I used to make fun of it until it actually caught my attention. It's like you listen to something so much that it actually interests you, intrigues you after a while. And there was one song I heard from Cradle of Filth called Her Ghost in the Fog. And, you know, I would, you know, there was this one chick that I was talking with in high school, and she was all big into Cradle of Filth and all that kind of stuff. She was absolutely fucking gorgeous, but now you look at her and she looks, whoa! but yeah, just pretend, you know, she was absolutely fucking gorgeous at the time. And she was all into that kind of stuff, into the goth aesthetic. You know, a lot of people were going into the goth aesthetic. By the way, like, all the people that I were, you know, that I was hanging out with were basically going into the goth thing because, you know, we were the outcasts and we wanted to be goths because we fucking identified with that scene and that music. So we were like, dude, we're them. Like, we want to be them because we are them. Like, it's one of those things where you knew it. You'd go to Hot Topic, you'd buy your shit. I mean, literally, that was, yeah, we were Hot Topic goths at the time. But it's better than what we have now with the fucking e-girl shit, okay? But you'd go there, you know, I got all my shirts, my Mudvayne, because I was really big into Mudvayne, you know, Dig was really left something on me. And I was able to buy, started to be able to buy Dis Uncut, right? Because when I first went to, I think it was Kmart at the time, I bought like an edited Power Man 5000, Tonight the Stars Revolt, and a lot of other discs. I can't remember all of them right off the top of my head, guys. But, you know, it was just great to buy them uncut. And, of course, I had Mushroom Head XX. And I interviewed those guys later on. Worked with their label. It's pretty crazy, right? Yeah, I had their I had their guitarist on my social media for the longest time. He was a pretty cool guy. Really good guitarist. He put his own band out called Creatiaz, and they are pretty much like Pantera. So if you miss classic Pantera, they fucking sound like that. Maybe even a little bit like Superjoint. But, anyway, I was listening to a lot of this stuff, and I would bring all my records with me in my book bag when I went to high school. Like, I'm talking about I would have them all in my book bag, like all the cases. I'm not talking about the CDs. I bring the cases and all. I had a whole fucking thing. Just I threw it in my book bag and I would go in there and pick the ones that I wanted because I'd constantly be jamming stuff. I remember I actually did a project for school based on how good certain bands were compared to others, and Slipknot won out of Mushroom Head, Slipknot, and I think it was another band, but Slipknot won out of that. Now, it was Iowa, which was the record that I used, but I liked, yeah, I think it was Iowa was the one I used, but I liked, I mean, I liked Mushroom Head more as I got older. I still like classic Slipknot, but I like Mushroom Head, like their classic XX records and X3, and a lot of the stuff with, you know, the original frontman, and I think it's Waylon, that's the guy that replaced, J-Man, I can't remember. Anyway, the original frontman, and, just that old lineup. Remember, XX was actually a re-recording of another record, because they'd done two versions of XX. They did one for their, like, independent, and they did one for the label. The difference between the one for the label is it has better production, like, it's a little louder, and it doesn't have the intros. Now, one thing that was really cool about the songs that came off of that record, or because all that record was a mixture of their previous material. They'd had three records prior, and Super Buick and M3 were probably the best ones. But anyway, they had really good intros. And it sucks that, you know, the intros got left off. And some of them were, I guess, copyright. There's a lot of reasons why they leave intros out. And you get different versions of songs. But it made you understand the song a little more, like with The Wrist. You know, of course, The Wrist is about slitting your wrist. And people don't know this, but These Filthy Hands is about masturbation. Listen to the song. It's literally, there's a band called, what is it now? Skyclad, that did a song called Sins of Omission. And it was basically a song that was against the, excuse me, it was against the idea that the church thought masturbation was a sin. And that was basically echoed in These Filthy Hands. I gotta get clean, the rain will cleanse me, but I gotta wash these filthy hands. It's like pulling one hair with wet fingers. It's literally about masturbation. It's literally what the song is about. Come on, they had a drummer that was named Pig Venus. Come on now, they knew what the fuck they were talking about. What's crazy is they wrote so many songs that were against religion and God. You know, they did the New Cross thing, or the new Cult King. The New Cult King doing the cross thing. Really good song. But you know what happened? The guy that sang those lyrics, he became Christian. Literally, became religious. He now sings more religious theme. Now he hasn't changed his style. It's still, alternative kind of rock, metal-ish sound, but it's not the same kind of thing that he used to talk about. And they wrote a lot of freaking songs, like Mother Machine Gun, just a lot of songs really criticizing religion. And sometimes it's the ones that criticize religion the most that are the most curious about religion and may even come to accept it later in life. That's literally how some things happen. Okay, hold on. You guys seen me fight this day a million times, but I think I'm actually going to whoop its ass this time. Which is good, because I know you guys are getting tired of seeing it. Like, did you get the pattern down, Grim, yet? God, it's not that fucking hard. No, it's really not. And just the Sonic the Hedgehog shit is, from the mine where Robotnik would go up and drill the damn ceiling and that shit would come down. Yeah. All right. Yep, see how he does that bullshit? Oh! I might do it! Oh! Don't do it! Yes! Brought his ass down! That feels good. Okay, so I got the Sigma of the Reprieve. Broken Pass. Okay, so anyway, I enjoyed a lot of those. Ugh, I don't give a fuck about that guy. We'll go back to the last checkpoint. Why is that my... Hold on. Why are you so strong? I'll go back to that motherfucker. You ain't that fucking strong. Come here, Mr. Axeman. See? This game is pretty fun, though. I do like it. I'm getting more used to these 2D Souls-likes. They're not that fucking hard. You just gotta think about them. Come here, little motherfucker. I know you can probably do some fatalities, but I don't care. Spikes do kill you in one hit in this game. Alright, so, back to metal! Alright, so, yeah, like I said, listened to a lot of that kind of stuff. I was real big into fucking everything. There was one video where I talked about my exploration into more extreme metal. So there was a radio show right in my state, all right? And it would only come on about Sunday at 11 o'clock, and it was a metal show. And basically, the guy played a lot of shit, dude. He would play classic stuff. He would play brand new stuff. He played rare shit. That's the first time I heard the fucking Mushroomhead version of Seal's Crazy. And I love that. And I also heard Demon Hunter for the first time. You know, Demon Hunter, Christian metal bands are actually really fucking good. They came out with some really good shit. Their first couple albums, they're a little more lighter now than they used to be. But if you check out those first two records, they're really fucking heavy. Really good shit. So I definitely recommend those. You could actually find them in Christian bookstores back then. Okay. Oh, so people... You speak with respect. Only now is I reveal myself to you. many others like you have dwelled here in the manor. Like freedom. Sorry, folks, I'm not gonna straight up do all this. What you ask of me? Discover a teacup. Oh, I can level up. My god. Alright, so while I'm doing this, basically, yeah, this metal show that I was watching, or listening to, sorry guys, on the radio. Yes, on the radio. I would record a lot of it. I would record so many fucking songs because there was always interesting shit. There was a version of Paint It Black by this one metalcore band, and they were fucking great. I can't remember the name of them, but they did an awesome version of that. And it was the first time I heard Dimmu Borgir. I can't remember the name of that fucking song. I probably said it in the other video, but it's that, it's, hold on. I might actually have to fucking go look it up. I mean, it is what it is. But let's see here. No, that's not. I love when I type something in. Let's see. Progenies of the Great Apocalypse from Death Cult Armageddon, 2003. The battle raged on and on, fueled by the venom of hatred for men. You know, I just love that shit when it would go into dun 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 dun. I mean, they used a real orchestra, so this was fucking cool as shit to me. It sounded like the most epic shit ever. Like Slipknot was cool, but they had nothing on this, you know? And then, of course, there was so many things that I was listening to online because file sharing was crazy back then. So you were always hearing new bands. And another thing that labels used to do was sampler CDs. So they'd always give you these samplers, and with the samplers, you get a booklet. And the booklet would have all these different records that you could order. And there were so many different records they had. They had really old records, brand new shit. Whatever you could afford, they would give it to you. I remember buying some Therion records there. The last couple Therion records that I really liked, too, unfortunately. But it was Lemuria and Sirius B. And it was really cool because Therion did metal and they had a choir. And that was one of the first... Well, that was one of the last records they used where they had harsh vocals, where they had like a death metal song. Because remember, when Therion first started, they were a death metal band. And they had some really fucking cool stuff later on, but their first two records were rather fucking boring, in my opinion. Somebody might disagree, but my fucking opinion, they were boring as shit. Anyway, you had bands like Therion, you had bands like Arch Enemy, and I mean, when Angela came out, oh my god. Dude, I fucking love the classic days of Arch Enemy with the old vocalist. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. But when she started out with Arch Enemy, you can tell why they kept her for so long. Because she was awesome. Yes, they did put out that one fucking Anthems of Rebellion record. That was really... I mean, it wasn't terrible. It had that one song... about selling out and talking about how, hey, you sold your soul. Like you were better off dead. And it was a finger to these fucking pop princesses, you know? And she wasn't doing the in this moment kind of shit, right? She was doing fucking metal. Like all the Angela records are goddamn fucking metal. Like they're all metal. There's no goddamn singing on any of those records, guys. When you buy Wages of Sin, all the way up to their fucking 2007 record, all that shit is fucking metal. Through and through. Hard, kick-ass fucking metal. Doomsday Machine was one I picked up. I bought that record. Fucking love that record. Amon Amarth. I remember I picked up, what was it? It wasn't Versus the World. Versus the World was an amazing record, but I never actually owned it. I owned Fate of Norns. And Fate of Norns was really hardcore because it had a song on there which was literally about burying his son. It was a song about the child dying in battle and the Viking having to... the father having to bury the son. And it's a really fucking hardcore song. It's sad, but it's strong. And of course you had Pursuit of Vikings on that and all that. And all those good songs. But yeah, with file sharing and all that, that's the way that we got to hear a lot of these songs. Remember, YouTube didn't have... We didn't have YouTube back then. YouTube didn't exist. Keep that in mind. There was no YouTube. So if you wanted to hear a song, you had to fucking, like, either own the record or you had to pirate it. That's the only fucking way you could do it. There was some, like, MP3 downloads from the metal websites. And one thing I did, like, in high school... back in 05, I think, is basically I would go in there and maybe it was 04, 05, something like that. But anyway, I'd go in there during the computer class and just fucking go on the internet and download all the sampler songs from Metal Blade or all the sampler songs from Century Media. And I'd watch the videos because they would have the videos like Paradise Lost, Symbol of Life was coming out around then. And that was their goth record. You know, I'd never heard Sisters of Mercy. I never heard a lot of these other classic goth acts, right? I never heard Bauhaus. So, when I was listening to them, I was kind of getting a taste of that through a more modern lens. You know, they had, what was that song? Erased, which is a really hardcore song. I mean, it's not metal, but I mean, the lyrics were pretty hardcore. And then, of course, Hypocrisy was coming out with Eraser. That's another song. All these songs are about, you know, God and religion not existing. You know, that's just literally what was going on. That was the thing. A lot of bands were talking about that now. But then you got the guy that did Eraser fucking talking about how maybe the elites are in control and aliens and all this crazy shit, right? So things are starting to change a little bit in his mind, right? All right. I guess when I need to level up, inquire about the manor or leave. Okay, so Lady Helena would do that for me. I like this a little better because it feels like Castlevania. I know that's a horrible reason. It's like, did you want a gothic blasphemous? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I did want a Castlevania blasphemous game, okay? So this is kind of like something I didn't expect would happen. Damn, what the fuck? Oh. Alright. So here I am in the manor. I mean, I keep getting these bullets. I said I was going to be a ranger. I said I was going to shoot people, but where's my gun? Alright, inquire about Mithrigal. Okay. If I were to leave, it would challenge the despicable power that controls our beloved Mithrigal. Okay, so man. Oh shit, god damn it. I'm sorry, Mark, I didn't want to talk to you again. Leave. Alright, so he's giving me a gun. Yes, sir! Oh, I only have. What? Okay, game. Why give me a gun and have 8 bullets? That's worse than Resident Evil. On hardcore mode. I don't want to travel. Man, somebody's great hall. Okay, got a question. There's these staircases, but I can't go up them. So why are they there? Oh, yeah, there's those things. I guess the stairs don't work. What is this? Oh, can I sit in the chair? No, but I can throw the chair. Wow, I like this game even more. I can just throw chairs for no fucking good reason. Yes, you have no idea how happy that makes me. Okay. So, okay. I mean, let's see. I've talked about... Yeah, I got into Blind Guardian. That was another band I got into. Got into Dream Theater. But I got into Dream Theater earlier on because there was a live album that I bought from Dream Theater on September. It was around September 11th. Yeah, that's when I bought that one. And they had to change the picture because it was eerily reminiscent because it was live scenes from New York. It was eerily reminiscent to what happened on September 11th. You can look up that conspiracy stuff for yourself, surely. But yeah, I got that one. There was some Iced Earth records I bought. I've always been a huge Iced Earth fan. My father absolutely fucking hated them. I had no idea they were going to go the way they did with John Schaefer and all that, but I always did like the guys, and they were one of those bands that really told me to kind of, you know, really respect the country and all that kind of thing. And at the same time, I was listening to Ministry. Ministry was telling me, hey, this George Bush guy, he's nobody you want to follow. He's not a good guy. He doesn't have our country's best interests at heart. And KMFDM, I got them just on a whim, and I was listening to that record, and that record fucking stopped me from going into the military. Like, almost went to the army. Like, I didn't make it in the Navy because of my coordination due to my, you know, my autism. But when I tried to go into, they would definitely accept me into the army though, and that's what my principal was trying to tell me. He's like, they'll accept you in the army, which they probably would because they need fodder, right? But anyway. Oh, that's cool. But anyway, listening to that KMFDM record, I mean, it was heavy. It had a heavy song. There's a song called World War III on there. It was the name of the record itself. But the song, the very first song on there is World War III. And when that song first fucking starts out, it starts out like a little, like, banjo thing, and then it just goes into fucking heavy-ass riffs, and it's a really good song with a solo, hardcore solo and all that stuff. He, like, Sasha screaming his ass off, like, you can, the band is on fire at this point. And they've got Pig in there, you know, the guy that plays, used to play, I don't know if he still plays in Pig, but, he was in there. And he did some really good fucking songs on there. He also was on Attack. He wasn't in the band long, but he did some really good stuff in there. And it also got me into more electronic-based music. Because there was a lot of electronic, you know, KMFDM was the ultra-heavy beat. So they were always about, like, electronic, rock, metal kind of stuff. And he said in that very last song intro, he says, I'm the father of industrial rock, and if you don't believe that, you can suck my cock, right? I mean, that's literally what he was saying. And if you go back into the history of KMFDM, you're kind of find out that it's pretty much true. People say, Einstein's Nebotin, or all these other bands. Killing Joke. Yeah, Killing Joke and KMFDM were pretty much neck and neck into that, guys. If you want to go that far back, you're going to find KMFDM pretty goddamn close. They were putting out UAIOE in probably about the 1980-something, then of course you had Don't Bust Your Top, or what is that? Don't Lose Your Top, something like that. There was another one that they did. See, I've listened to all their shit. So, like, there's so many songs I've loved from them. Of course, everybody likes Cymbals. Cymbals is the one that the Mortal Kombats were using, you know, during that era when house music was really popular and Tracy Lords was doing the, you know, for Reptile. Yeah, that was actually a full song that she sang along to. And yes, Tracy Lords, the porn star, she did some pretty fucking good shit with the house music and the industrial, you know, that whole scene. So yeah, guys, I was into a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, there was just so many things. Rammstein was getting really popular. I was really getting into them. And of course, Sehnsucht was the one that I heard, and I found Mudder, because Mudder was coming out. Firefly was really popular. Of course, that Triple X movie had come out, and it was Firefly, bang, bang, da-dun, 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 you know. That was a really good one. Like, we just really loved that whole fucking era. There used to be a channel called Fuse, and they did a show, a thing called Uranium, and it was with Mistress Julia. Now, she's no longer Mistress Julia, obviously. They even had a fucking weird-ass sexy call-in show with her at one point. Good luck finding any video of that. But, yeah, Uranium, she interviewed all these bands. She interviewed Type O Negative, she interviewed Opeth, she interviewed Shadows Fall. She was there when metalcore happened, when KSE was fucking Killswitch Engage was first starting out, when Shadows Fall was first starting, when you had all these other big bands, and so many of them that just, they're no longer here, or they're in other pieces, you know, people have moved here, there, and everywhere. When Howard first started coming into KSE, and Howard, you know, he knew he was a black guy, right? And he said, oh yeah, it's still me, I just got a tan. Like, they were making fun, like, it was a different time. They're like, oh yeah, it's the same vocalist, I just got a tan. I'm a little different. Howard was just an amazing vocalist. What was that song? The End of Heartbreak was such a fucking, no, The End of Heartache. I'm sorry, The End of Heartache. Just an amazing metal record. People don't realize how fucking influential Adam, what is it, guy? I can't pronounce his last goddamn name, unfortunately. Adam D. We'll just call him Adam D, because that's usually like he likes to be called. But they don't realize how big Adam D was to fucking Killswitch Engage. Like, he just, oh, he had the most beautiful fucking melodies. The most beautiful fucking melodies, guys. You damn near cry. The melodies are so great in some of these songs. And Howard would just come in there and belt out some of the best goddamn vocals you ever heard. And then there was like these really heavy songs, and you know, and it was religious. Like, there's a song on there called Set This World Ablaze. You know what that's about, right? That's about Jesus Christ coming back and taking all the Christians, you know, and the rapture of Christ, you know, coming back, getting the Christians, and then the earth being destroyed 75% by fire. So he's like, set this world ablaze. We alone remain. Don't fear what awaits. We alone remain. You know, and they talked about it. Like, it's like, set it all, you know, set it all ablaze. There's so many songs in there that talk about that. You know, they never went full on hog. You know, they never went like, this is deliberately about Jesus. But you can tell by listening to the themes. Even Avenged Sevenfold had written lots of songs about religion. Nightmare. You know what Nightmare is about, right? Nightmare is about going to hell. Alice Cooper was putting out some heavy stuff about that time. Alice Cooper put out one record, not Dragon Town, but the one before that. I can't remember the name of it, guys, but it's a heavy record with Alice Cooper. And he really did. He could do it. He could do it. You might think the man that did what was Welcome to My Nightmare, all he can do. No. He literally put out a heavy metal record, and it's a good metal record, too. And there's songs in there that mean a lot. There's a song in there about people wasting food, which you think, well, why would somebody write about that? Because it is an issue. You know, where I work, they throw away so much food. And I don't mean it's bad. Yeah, there's some that's bad, but you can look at the food yourself and be like, you can feed this to somebody. And we throw out thousands of pounds of food every day. It's really disgusting. that we live in a country so rich that we can just throw food away because it doesn't sell. And I hate to be the communism guy because I'm not that guy. You know I don't feel that way. But at some point, you have to realize that somebody makes this food, right? And I know things spoil and I know things go bad. But there's a lot of food that, it may be past the expire date, but it's not, it's still fresh, like a loaf of bread. It may have went bad a day or so ago, but it doesn't have any mold on it. There's nothing wrong with it. It can still be eaten. It'll still last a couple days. You know, we've got a lot of baked goods that get thrown out. There's so many things that they just threw out. It's ridiculous how much food we threw out. One time we threw out so much food, it made me sick. Yeah, it's just so much food they throw out. They throw out all the unsold food in the deli. They throw out all the unsold food too. It's awful. It's terrible. Like somebody doesn't eat the chicken or anything else they cook, throw it all out. All of it. Right in the trash. Right in the compactor. Boom, there it goes. So, yeah, I mean, he was trying to talk about that. And there's a lot of really good songs on that record. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it. But it's the one right before Dragontown. So if you go look at the Dragontown record, which is really good, the song Dragontown is about going to hell, too. He wrote a lot of songs about going to hell. He wanted to make sure that, that it's not a good place. He wants to make sure that, you know, you don't want to go there. So, you know, I mean, and one thing a lot of people say, well, you know, but you like all these black metal bands and stuff. And one thing that I thought was always funny, and I've talked about this before, Alice Cooper would talk about how all these black metal bands want to be evil and all that stuff. And let's not beat around the bush. Sometimes people have, you know, some dark thoughts they need to, you know, get out of them every once in a while. And that's when I listen to shit like Ilum and As the World Keels Over and shit from Dark Fortress. I like songs like that. Osiris, sometimes I get into my occult kind of stuff, you know, because I always find that stuff interesting. But at the same time, like, yeah, I'm not one of the people to say, like, I mean, as far as religion goes, I don't have an issue with religion. But I have an issue with, like, well, no, I don't have an issue with God. I have an issue with religion. Because religion, you know, there's a lot of people that go in there and try to say, oh, well, you have to do this, or you have to do that, you have to do that. And that's fine if people have, you know, certain religions like that. But I was reading an interview from a Christian musician. And he said, hell is not... I don't know if this is one I read or one that I actually conducted, because I did conduct an interview with the lead singer of Demon Hunter. But it was during the Extremist record. That's when I conducted that interview with him. So anyway, it's not Mark Hunter, that's Chimera, which is another good band. Not Christian, but they're another good band. You know, the Ozfest era was really good. All those bands coming out, Slipknot and Static X, you know, getting really popular. Machine Head, of course. You had all these great bands coming out from that era. Chimera, of course. They're going to release the very first show documentary for Ozfest number one in just, I think it might be a couple months. It's something that they've had sat on for a long time. And it probably will bring me to tears when I see these bands, because I'll be like, oh my god, I remember those days. I remember when Mudvayne looked like that. I remember when Static X, oh my god, that's Wayne Static, you know, and he's lost to us, you know. And Wayne's last record he made was a record about trying to, you know, drug problems. Like, it was an anti-drug record, because he had dealt with that kind of issues himself. And it was a record to try to, you know, tell people, you know, how important it is to be clean. So, it was Pig Hammer. That was the name of that one. It was called Wayne Static Pig Hammer. It wasn't the best record he ever did, but it was the last record he ever did. And some of those sessions got turned into what is the new System of a Down. Static X records that are coming out. And I think we're supposed to be getting one... in December, we're supposed to be getting a new static. It's probably the last volume. That's all they have. They dropped one volume way back when, and they said the second volume would come out soon. And it's been a couple years, and they're finally going to drop that. So I'm really looking forward to that fucking record. Because that's the last we're going to hear from Wayne Static, unfortunately. I know that Edsel Dope is fucking trying. Yes, that's who Zero is, Edsel Dope. He's trying to bring that back. But when I saw them live, just in the concert footage, I was like, oh my god, this is not good. Like, I understand what Edsel's trying to do. I understand what he's trying to do. I've worked with Edsel's people. I've worked with Dope. I really respect Dope. They gave their whole album away for free, their brand new one. They're really cool. I like how he says, you know, we can't say, he literally says, man, this cancel culture shit's ridiculous. We can't say nothing anymore. It's like, we can't fucking do any of this anymore. Like, most of his songs, he's like, I can't, I mean, can you play Bitch? Can you play, Debonair? Not Debonair, yeah, Debonair, can you play, Bang, bang in your head, fucker, bang, bang in your dead, fucker. Like, you can't probably even play that shit anymore. Because, oh my god, that's talking about killing somebody. Duh! I mean, that's just literally, you know, the kind of stuff we listened to back then. It's just, you know, angry, hardcore music, you know? Of course, there was the infamous Die, Motherfucker, Die. Die, MF, Die. It's like, Die, Motherfucker, Die, Motherfucker, Die. And we were young. Sorry for the stuttering there, but when we were young teenagers, oh my god, dude, we used to crank that shit. We used to crank that in Cold Chamber. It's like, the roof, the roof, the roof is on fire, but we don't need no water. Let that motherfucker burn. Burn, motherfucker, burn. And then it would be like, the roof, the roof, the roof is on fire, but we don't need no water. Like, that's literally what we would do. Like, we would jam that fucking song going down the highway. Like, we used to blast Korn loud as shit. Like, we knew what fucking good music was. We would smoke weed, fucking drink, and blast music. That's what we did. And it's a good time, man. It was a good fucking time. Like, we enjoyed that shit. Damn, dude. I mean, it's... Almost died the first time I got drunk, because they're like, okay, well, here's your first beer, here's your first joint, and we're gonna just give you Crown and codeine too. It's like, oh shit. I was partying and having a good time, and then all of a sudden I just went whoo out. Almost fell asleep my girlfriend's lap. She wouldn't have minded too much, though. We were young and dumb at the time. You know how it is. It brings back good memories and good times. Even if we have bad... Even if we don't have the same relationship as, you know, we used to. You don't forget good... You don't forget bad good times. You just don't, you know? Like, I don't even think she forgets those times, you know? Because you can't forget good times. You can't forget how people made you happy. You can't forget that kind of stuff. You just can't. So, you know, there were so many bands that I was jamming. You know, from the underground to the fucking mainstream. Just all these bands, guys. So many fucking bands. Like, it was impossible to keep up with my music, because I was constantly downloading shit. Man, Soulseek and me, just constantly fucking downloading shit. And then they, you know, file sharing sites happen. You know, can't remember some of the names. Mediafire is still up, but a lot of these other ones that were just really big that people would upload all the music on, right? That was interesting. Because there was a forum that people would upload all this music on, right? So I'd fucking download it, and that's how I listened to a lot of shit. And a lot of times it was a music exploring board. It wasn't so much about, oh, pirating the records. It was like, no, we'd never heard this kind of music before. This is the new Soulfold. Here's the new whatever. Like, there's so many different bands. Hey, what about this Psy band? Imaginary Soundscape was really cool. I didn't realize I'd be working with them years later. I still follow their main band on my social media. They just did a tour. And they're like, what songs do you want to hear next? It's like, which ones do you want us to do now? And, you know, they've put out so many records since then. Of course, he's proud of every single record he's done. So, you know, there were those bands. There was, like, Cathia Flame. Oh, my God. People posted the shit out of that. When I saw Elvenifrist just a couple of maybe weeks ago, I'm like, oh, Jesus, you brought back so many fucking memories. So I remember the first time I heard, like, Cathia Flame's Elvenifrist. And there was one version of it that just kept getting posted a million times. And then finally it got posted, and it was a remaster. They said, this is the only time this thing should be posted here. So we also found out that label guys were taking bands that they weren't too sure about, and they were posting them on there to see what people would think. Do you like them? Are they good? And yeah, there was some pretty good ones. They never fucking went anywhere at all. I mean, they may have even broke up completely. But they had a promise. And that's one of the most saddest things about working in the industry when I did, is I faced so many bands that had promise that never went anywhere, never will go anywhere, and never will be nothing. And it's real sad. And it's a lot of it because of the genre trends had changed. You know, everything was going into djent. Djent was the big thing when I really got into it. Everybody was trying to do djent riffs, djent this, djent that. It was so much. And there was some really good ones. Really, really, really good ones. But then you'd have bands out there that's like, oh God, it's the same shit with djent riffs. And you'd have bands that had no business adding djent riffs into their fucking music just because it was popular. So you'd have bands that we know for a fact didn't know djent from their head. They didn't know djent from a hole in the ground. They didn't know anything about Meshuggah. They just knew it was fucking popular. What the hell is this? They're gonna fight that thing? Not compared to that, what weighs upon my mind. Find them, I should show you enormous gratitude. Probably give me something really cool, right? I mean, I can't level up. I didn't kill anything. I've been wandering around a manor that I can't do nothing in. I don't like when you get lost in games. But it looks like I might actually have to go somewhere else. Maybe I do. Wow, Grim. After wandering for about an hour, you finally decided to start going somewhere in the game, huh? Well, I'm talking about all these cool things, so, you know, I'm not thinking about it. But, you know, just going through records, and I may have talked about this again in another video, but just going through some of the records that I went through, guys, I'm talking about the old shit. The old shit back in 2010, when I really first started my site. I was listening to it, and I was like, what happened to this band? What happened to that band? What happened to this band? Where did this band go? Where did that band go? And it was kind of sad. Because, yeah, we've got new bands and stuff like that. But there's some really good fucking bands out there that just dissipated. You know, good projects and everything. I'm just really sad to see some of them never went anywhere. And some of the bands that I worked with, you know, like Chenille, I worked with them. They were a band that was trying to mix as many genres as they could, kind of like Unexpect, which only had about 3 records. So, yeah, In a Flesh Aquarium is a good one if you want to listen to a band that mixes every kind of metal together. Every kind of metal and every kind of music. Just everything you could think of in one record. It's not like Devin Townsend. Of course, I got into Devin Townsend a while ago. Well, no, I got into Devin Townsend years ago, based on a friend's suggestion. He said, I want you to check out this guy called Devin Townsend because I hear so much about him from online. You know, he talks to a lot of metal people. This was before Reddit. Reddit didn't exist back then. So there were metal forums and stuff like that where you would talk to people and they would tell you, hey, check this guy out or check this band out. Check out this band called Baal Shagoth, which is probably the most epic band that's ever existed in the history of humanity. They were a band that did their own, see, Byron, he wrote his own lyrics. And when he wrote lyrics, he was very much influenced by, like, Robert E. Howard and all these other, great writers, from from swashbuckling and fantasy and, science fiction, you know. So there was a lot of stuff about, Cthulhu, you know, H.P. Lovecraft, of course, you know, stuff like that. And he had his own writing style, and it was so epic. Like, he would write these... He wrote in the style that, like, these guys would write. And there was, like, part one of this and part two of that, and it was this big world that he was creating ever since that very first record, you know? And there was... Starfire Burning Upon the Ice-Veiled Throne of Ultimate Thule was the one record that just everybody fucking really loves. That one was really good. Then you had just simply Battle Magic. And then you had The Power Cosmic. That was a really good one. The Power Cosmic was about Silver Surfer. And it is an incredible record about Silver Surfer. I mean, it has... other songs on it, but of course that was the main thing they were going for. And of course then they had Atlantis Ascendant, which is another amazing record, and then the Chthonic Chronicles, which was the last record they put out in 2006, and then they completely closed the book on the entire band. It is amazing. One thing that I think you guys would like to do, if you like, you know, the works of Robert E. Howard and those kind of writers, is to go online, I think Dark Lyrics still exists, and go to look up Baal Shagoth. And just read through, should have all the lyrics there, just read through them. You're going to find yourself enamored, because they literally read like epic poetry. They don't read like regular song lyrics. And this man, to be absolutely fair, he narrates. I'm serious. There's metal like dun dun dun, and then of course you have these great big symphonics. So it has this dun 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 dun, and then of course, you know, there's metal, and he's got like a black metal. What you might not like is his scowl that good. It's never been very good on the records. It's not been very good live, but the narration voice he has is godlike. It's like, damn, if you could do a version of this without the harsh vocals, it would probably just, it might even be better. But he was a fan of black metal, and when he put it to the, when he tempered it the way he did, when he added these symphonics and these narrations, and he would fully narrate, and these are passionate narrations, and he's, you know, a British man, so he's got this bold English voice. And he's just going off. It's swear to God, it sounds like... It's literally the soundtrack of Weird Tales. It feels like it. You know, it feels like it could be... I can't compare their music to anything. They've even put out a band called Coal, which was supposed to capture the spirit without the frontman. And it couldn't do it. I was looking forward to it. And it was only a 7. And I was like, oh, damn it. You guys could have done it. But they just can't do it without Byron. Because Byron was the man. He just, you know, he still writes things. He still has been writing for a very long time now. He's just, you know, he's no longer into the metal scene like he was. He's just, you know, that's not his thing. But of course, Martin Walkyier left Skyclad. That other guy joined, and Skyclad broke up. I mean, they put out a couple records, maybe a record or two, and then that was it. So a lot of guys, you know, they have quit, and they have left legacies. again, when you go back, now that very first Balshagoth record, and again, it's Balshagoth, and remember that there's a space between Bal and Sagoth. But when you check them out, you're going to be like, oh my god, this is some of the most epic shit. Wait till you see the album covers. Now, that first one's not so good. Black Moon Broods Over Lemuria. That's not so good, but wait till you see the covers on Battle Magic and the Ice Veiled Throne over Starfire Burning Upon the Ice Veiled Throne of Ultimate Duel. Yes, the songs are that long, too. Then you look at Power Cosmic, and you look at Atlantis Ascendant, you look at... I mean, the Chthonic Chronicles isn't that much to look at. But the artwork is just... Oh my god, it's amazing artwork. You're gonna just be mind blown when you check this band out. Because the I've never heard anything so epic in all my life. It's the most epic metal that's ever been created. Period. Never heard anything more epic. And just an amazing, amazing act. So, you know, I was listening to them, and of course, you know, Moonspell from Portugal, still going on, still release Hermitage, probably going to release a new record. It might be more heavy, since Hermitage was more progressive, but they've done everything they did. They started out with black metal, and then they moved into gothic stuff. They put out Sin Pecado, which is a wonderful goth album, and then they put out, Origilis was kind of... Origilis was kind of goth, but it's more black metal. And then, of course, you had, I can't remember that one record that has Luna on it. You can go look up the video for Luna, and you'll see it. It's a song about the moon, because they believed they were werewolves, or at least that was the gimmick. But they're Portuguese, and they're just... really known for doing this great gothic metal. Of course, not quite like Typo Negative, which is just a class act in every regards. And Peter Steele was a man's man. He talked about, we would take these old cars and we would put them all together, you know, out of a junkyard scrap heap. And then we would go out into a arena or a place like that, or just a wide open area. And he said it was Rock'em Sock'em Robots. He would they just literally try to crash into each other at full speed. That's just the kind of testosterone-powered shit that these guys would do. And he said, every time you pose, it looks like four dead trees on the album cover. And he said, well, that's what we want to look like. We want to look like four dead trees. He was just great. There's nobody out there like, gonna be anybody out there like Peter Steele. His last record was apparently religious, but that's remains to be seen. They said that he became religious or Catholic in jail, after getting into a fight and damn near killing somebody. It wasn't much later that he made that record and then he died, right? So, damn it, kill these stupid things. Skeleton dogs. Die over fucking skeleton dogs. Oh, fuck this guy. Oh, he's got a gun. And how does he shoot me like that? I was jumping over him. You know, if you tried to shoot somebody that was jumping up at you, you probably wouldn't shoot them like that. Like, that bullet would not fucking hit. I'm sorry. Me and the developer are going to have a talk about that. Do you want him to miss? Yes, because I jumped. It's like, it might be a bad thing to know so many devs. This guy literally made it so you can't... People will complain. You didn't know it was a Souls-like, right? Yeah, but I played Ninja Gaiden. How hard can a Souls-like be? Oh! Yeah, you died on spikes with Mega Man 2, so whatever. As you see, I can talk about metal forever. And I haven't even talked much about when I started the website. So shit, we may even continue this for another fucking full-on episode. Because there's just so much to talk about when it comes to metal. Shit, I can tell you about when I first discovered Megadeth and going to Metallica. I think I talked about Enter Sandman, but I remember when my buddy, but apparently he did, it's hard for me to really talk about him, because apparently he did some things to, I still follow his ex-wife on social media still. She actually responded to me rather recently. But anyway, he apparently did some things with their daughter. And I'm like, brother, come on now. And you're talking about a religious man. This man's mother was so religious, she baked Jesus a birthday cake on Christmas. I'm not even lying. She literally said, okay, it's December 25th, time to bake Jesus a birthday cake. And that's literally what they would do, I swear. So, you had to be real careful with lyrics. And I was the bad influence of sorts. I would let him listen to Insane Clown Posse and all that. He liked listening to that kind of stuff, you know. He liked Metallica. So, he had to be really careful with what he bought. Now, you know, he got older and he could listen to a bunch of stuff. And he was always into stuff that was more lewd and all that crap. Like, he was all into WWE Attitude. We would talk about Trish Stratus and what's that chick that had the legs? He all talking about her. Stacy Keibler, I think it was at the time. She still looks good for her age, I hear. But, oh yeah, I'd let him listen to all that kind of stuff, and he got into it. And then my other friend, man, I was the guy that turned everybody onto ICP. I was the horrible influence that, and it was because there was a guy that moved into our area that was into ICP. I never heard this stuff. He's like, you gotta hear Chicken Hunting. And I said, what's Chicken Hunting? And, you know, he'd play that. And then we were trying to get, you know, more of their songs. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And he said, here, I got a whole CD, because he would burn records. He said, I'll burn you a whole record of them. And I'm like, okay. And we were listening to all these songs, like, First Day Out. And you know what's crazy? I was listening to, because I have ICP on my playlist, you know, because I have everybody. I got the heaviest metal to the synthwave to game music to hip-hop, you know, rap, all that kind of stuff. So, ICP, they play First Day Out. And you know what was crazy? I hadn't heard that song in so long. And I was literally repeating it beat after beat after beat. Like, man, the human brain is something that I can remember all them fucking lyrics. I can't remember the name of people, but I can go in there and just remember First Day Out. And that's an old song. Eminem was on that record, and Kid Rock. Oh, yeah. That's a real thing. Y'all didn't know that Eminem and Kid Rock were on Carnival of Carnage, did ya? Yeah, they were. Before both got famous. And even Eminem was on Kid Rock's Devil Without a Cause record. He was on Fuck Off. And he did a really good song, a really good verse on there, too. Like, one thing about Kid Rock, when he rapped, he was vulgar. Like, he was really fucking vulgar when they were doing, like when they did Fuck Off. I mean, there was a whole attitude in the 90s that has just been lost. And now it's looked at as cringe by a lot of people because they're like, oh, well, they didn't know what they were doing. No, they weren't pussies. They weren't fucking pussies. That's the thing. Like, we were listening to all that kind of stuff. Like, I would write some fucking crazy shit. And, that's just how it was. When I was in a band, you know, I was always writing lyrics for bands, you know. I didn't get into one many years later, but I would always write fucking lyrics. And it was always based on stuff I was listening to. Like Korn and, you know, Rammstein, Slipknot, all that kind of stuff. This was in high school, so I wasn't listening to a lot of the hardcore stuff yet. But, you know, as I got a little older, you know, I got listening to Nevermore, and I wrote some song based on that. But one demanded by the church. Well, own congregation. Okay. 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 Oh, we can buy something from him. Oh, fuck no! I don't want to buy that, because if I buy that, then I can't level up. I'm going to buy, like, a little bit. Because that Nycrux shit is my money. Oh, it only gives me 10. I should have never picked the fucking Ranger class.
Oh, you're a dead man, all right. I'll show you, sir. Dead man? Tell me what it's like to be a dead man, because you are!
I do like when they talk. That's kind of cool. They didn't really do that in Castlevania. It's good to hear,
I'm gonna kick your ass, mate!
Boy, that'd be great if they had some big guy, I am gonna kick your ass, mate! I would pay for that. You see, you couldn't do that. Konami wouldn't do that. And if it would, it'd be in Japanese. So, I mean, it'd be cool, but it wouldn't have the same impact to English audience. But since this is a game made in the West, it's a little different. So they could literally... It's like,
you think you can beat me, motherfucker?
Like, I don't know how vulgar they're allowed to get. I mean, that's gore and everything else. Maybe they can go full on... I don't know what the rating is. Like, it's not T for teen. It's got to be M for mature. But yeah, we're getting close to the end of this. Because I'm looking at the time clock here. And it says 1:53 in the morning. So yeah, I could talk about metal for days. I could just sit here and go on for hours. But you know what? I can't, because there's other shit I want to do tonight, and you guys don't want to sit and listen to a video for 2 hours of me talking to 3-4 hours of metal. Grim, this is the worst video you've ever did in your life. It's like, why are we listening to 4 hours of you talking about heavy metal? But yeah, a guy asked me to make a video about my experiences in heavy metal, and I'm going to talk about metal and music and all the other stuff, because it hasn't all been about metal. I've talked about industrial and a couple other things and hip-hop. I even talk about when I got into Necro and Ill Bill. I got into Necro and Ill Bill, yeah. I can talk about experiencing them. But, ooh! Just making sure. That's a tall fucking ladder. I would not climb that ladder. Something beneath the monument. But it's too heavy to move.
Sure. Says you.
Oh, okay. People are upset because there's no parry in the game, but you just jump over people. Is that literally all Dark Souls is? You just jump over people or roll over them? Roll around them?
You're a dead man, mate. No, you are, sir. Oh, goddammit.
Well, I don't know. This game's on the Switch, so I don't know if Nintendo would allow, like, really vulgar words. Like, I don't know. I know they don't allow hardcore nudity. They do have some adult games on there. But I don't know if they... Well, I don't know if we can have them say motherfucker. But some people say, oh no, there's a game like this where they can say it. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. I just want to be a little more vulgar than Castlevania. Because, you know, we can do that now. We can do that now. It's like... Ow! That bitch reminded me of, what's her name from Bloodstained? I'm gonna go get... Fuck that bitch up. Come here. Oh, well, I'm pretty far away from home, ain't I? I have to go through 2 more Big Berthas before I get there. Hey, don't worry. There's somebody that would bang that bitch. Maybe. I don't know. I think maybe. It's like, are you wondering if somebody's gonna fuck that enemy on screen? Hey, I have seen Resident Evil Rule 34 of shit that I never thought would be Rule 34. Like, I'm not talking about, you know, Jill and Claire. Oh, I'm talking about the fucking monsters. Not the zombies either. You know the things from Resident Evil 6 that were supposed to be Ada? Yeah, I've literally seen them fucked all kinds of different ways because of Rule 34 artists. Yeah, those things. There's tyrant fucking people because, you know, they don't have the penises and shit. Well, people actually, and I don't know if I need to commend them or just be like, wow, but people actually went out of their way to design what the genitals would look like for all these monsters. I'm serious. Like, 100% serious. And you can actually see them, you know, just in the art doing this shit. So, the tyrant, they showed, I mean, somebody must have had a fucking field day doing this. But, oh yeah, they definitely did it. Okay, so I want my Nycrux back. I'm gonna beat this bitch. Because I'm gonna... Oh, that thing didn't even hurt me. Fucking shoot this bitch. Where is the gun? You wanna play? You wanna play? You play, you play. Oh, hold on. Oh, come on, you bitch. What's this shit? Fuck this bitch up. Won't fuck her up. Man, she's got a lot of life, don't she? Maybe I'm in the place I'm not supposed to be. Like, that's a little much for an enemy. Like, what are you doing rolling around like an idiot? Got her. Street mistress. What are you? The fuck? Die, faceless one. Ow, bastard. Take that knife and stick it up your ass. Sigma of reprieve used to interrupt incoming attacks. Opens the gates to broken paths and some locked doors. Healing injection. Restores health. Well, can I do something with that? Like... Track more Nycrux from defeated enemies. Restores a medium amount of focus. Removes the effects of burning. Oh. Ooh, you get a skull cleaver. Let me look at it. Oh, no. No, that takes too damn long to... I don't like that. It'd take me 100 years to kill one enemy. I'm not doing that. I don't care if it does more damage. I can't move that because of that guy's face in the way. What the fuck kills this thing? Oh, damn! That motherfucker's like, nope! Alright, so anyway, this is the end of this episode of Grim Rants Into the Heavens About Metal. And I'll be ranting more about metal next week, unless something else happens. But I'll definitely try to get through and start doing more metal stuff because somebody asked me to do videos about music and metal. So that's what I'm doing. I can talk about metal all fucking day. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord and I'm out. And I'll see you guys next time on Grimm's... Grim... Nah, we're not doing a corner. We'll do that later. The Grim... Not that one either. Grim Rants into the Heavens. That's not it. We'll do... Okay. Let me try this one more time. It is late and I've had a little bit. So this is the Grim Lord and I'll see you next time when I've got something to rant about. Later.